am Julie Anderson, your hostess this morning, and or this afternoon, actually. And I am so excited. This is such a great topic. I have with me today in an interview, Jen with Becoming Iconic. Is that not the best name, a business name? I love that. Becoming Iconic. And you're going to have to check out her website, becomingiconic.co, because it is an iconic website. It is awesome.
Thank you. It's beautiful.
I love it. Let me do a real quick introduction on our guest here today. She says that she goes, welcome, friends. She's been building babies and businesses for 18 years. Looking forward to hearing more about that. In 2003, she left her corporate marketing career to be a stay-at-home mom. And while she loved being at home with her kids, she had a burning desire to set goals and create the life of her dreams. This voice in her head was too loud to ignore. How many of you ladies entrepreneurs out there feel the exact same way? If you do, press me too in the comments. She decided to jump into entrepreneurship, which has created multiple seven-figure businesses, memories made all over the world, and radical responsibility for how she spends her days. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Welcome, Jen, to the Women Entrepreneurs podcast, live cast, video cast, all over cast.
Well, this is fantastic. Thank you for having me, Julie. I'm really excited to pour into our conversation in the community. So thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. I am so, so, so happy for this topic because I think it's just, let me take my glasses off here so there's no reflection. I think it's something that no matter how long, as a female entrepreneur, no matter how long you have been in your entrepreneurial business or even in a corporate career, no matter how long that has been, this is something that is a struggle and continues to be a struggle for most women. And that is the topic of what some people would call work-life balance. But we're using the topic, there is no such thing as balance. So I'm very interested to hear your angle on it. I know when I speak with a lot of my clients on this topic, I use the term work-life flex, but I love what you call it. You call it harmony.
Harmony, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, give us a little bit of your background. I kind of read the briefness of it, but give us a little bit of what led you to really become passionate about being in this industry and helping other women to manage their amazing empires that they are building in their entrepreneurial work.
Yeah. And it's really the blend of these two knowings that I had as a woman. It started as a small child. I knew I was here to not only build the confidence in myself. I believe that's one of my life purposes and journey is to really ground myself into my essence and, just bring the validation that I have often looked outside of myself, bring it back to myself. And this has been an ongoing journey. But through that journey, one of the things that felt really clear was I was also meant to empower women, build their confidence alongside of myself. So I always knew that was something I was going to do. I wasn't sure how that was going to unfold. I went into school for fashion. I thought maybe I'll be a stylist and help women feel confident in terms of how they express themselves through their clothing and their choices of what they wear. That industry ate me for breakfast. So I didn't last long in the industry, although I still love fashion, and pivoted into marketing. And as I was in marketing, I remember having the hum of going, wow, I don't feel like I'm contributing in the way I thought I would. I don't know if I'm making a difference. Specifically for women, I was working in the tech industry, so there's not a lot of women. I was one of the only ones. I was treated poorly. I dealt with a lot of the projections of a woman in business, especially in the role of marketing that I had at a very young age. And so the blend happened when I had my first child. I loved my job. I knew there was more to me and the way I was supposed to contribute to the world. And then I laid eyes on Gracie and thought, wow, I have no idea where to go with this because I was a very young mom and had this gorgeous corporate career, but then I had these beautiful blue eyes looking back at me. And I felt like I had to make a choice, like many, many women who still feel that way. I had to choose to climb the corporate ladder and fulfill all of my capacity And somehow I felt like that would be taking away from being a mom. I would be making a choice for myself, not for her. Or I could stay home with her and sort of eradicate this idea of being this woman and chasing goals and building my career. And so that was a really easy choice, because when you have a child, you look at that child, your whole heart is walking outside of your body. And so I chose to leave my career and be a stay-at-home mom. But that was a big lesson for me, because I wasn't meant to just stay home as a mom. That just wasn't fulfilling to me. And that was a difficult thing to admit to, because I was in a neighborhood where most of the moms were home, that typical, you know, setup where the men went to work and we stayed home and we all got together and the kids played. So it looked very beautiful from the outside, but on the inside, I was aching for more. And that's when entrepreneurship fell in my lap. And I finally understood that as a woman, I could have the best of both worlds. I could build myself. I could go into personal growth and development. I could see how I could contribute to the world and support women and be a present mom, because I could do it from home. And so that was the turning point in my life. And for 18 years, it's been the experience of my home.
I love it. I love it. And were those the only beautiful set of blue eyes that stared back at you, or did you have additionals?
Yeah, I have four now.
Well, so, beautiful.
Yeah, it's like 1,000 kids, as they say, and it's true. It feels like 1,000 kids, but it's gorgeous. It's a good life. Yes.
And you're still able, this is great, because you can definitely speak from experience, how you create this harmony. And I tell people, so my other hat that I wear, of course, they're merged hats, right, is as the Brain Lady. And so a lot of people do know me as Brain Lady Julie. And I talk, one of the things that I emphasize when I talk about the topic for today and work-life balance is that if you're constantly striving for something that isn't obtainable, your subconscious messes with you, you know, and then you get those voices and you get those words and the, why can't I do this? I should be able to do this. So I like that. What, you know, the term that you use, it's a little bit more harmonious than what I use, but let's go ahead and jump into that topic. Then how can our listeners, how can the other amazing women that are listening to this, maybe they're thinking about an entrepreneurial career, maybe they are in it, in the midst of it, and they're trying to do that balance thing, which really doesn't work very well. How can they create harmony between their life and their business so they don't feel like guilty as a mom, that they're not giving enough as a mom, or that they're not going to be successful enough in their business because they're not giving enough in their business? How can they do that? How can they get that harmony between the two?
Such a great question. Such a big question, isn't it?
It is.
I can see people probably sitting on the edge of their seats going, tell me, because I want to understand this. And I have a very big idea around this, and something that's maybe not popular, but I really don't believe in balance. I actually feel like people who teach balance are in, and forgive me for this term, it's not the right choice of words, but it's just what's coming through. It's like we're hurting each other by teaching this. And what I mean by that is we're seeking something that doesn't exist. And by seeking balance, what is it doing? Perpetuating the feeling of not being in balance. So we're all feeling dizzy and just disjointed. And there's guilt when we're not working because we want to build a business. And then guilt when we're not with our kids because we want to be a present mom. And so there's this constant inner tug of war that we're never, ever going to win if we're seeking to balance these two worlds. Because I don't believe as a mom, there's such a thing. I think of my life over the last 18 years with kids alone, take entrepreneurship aside for a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, they get sick one day, they wake up with a fever, you know, they had nightmares, something's going on at school. There's always something happening. I say in my home, there's always a drama, but four kids, there's going to be someone with something each and every day.
And you're always triaging something.
That's a great term. It's true. And so for me to try to say, okay, well, Nicholas, like, let's just use my kids. Nicholas was one of them. He was ill today and I spent all this time with him. So I should give equal time now to everybody else, all the other children. how can I physically do that? There's no physical way I could do that. And it actually becomes unfair, because what we try to do is equalize everything. Well, really, Nicholas was the one that needed my attention that day. It didn't take away attention from my other children. I just gave more to him that day because it was required. And so how that blended into work-life balance was realizing presence. That's one of my favorite words. And it's something that I believe we all need to practice a little bit more. And the presence to me is this depth, this focus. It's doing the thing you said you were going to do when you're going to do it, and following through. And so when I'm in my work, like right now, for example, my family's in the other room, but they know I'm doing this podcast, and they trust that when I'm done the podcast, I'll come out and we'll have family dinner and those types of things. But I am not worrying about what's happening outside of these walls right now. This is a priority. This is a gift. This is a blessing to be able to talk to you right now. So to give my presence to you, again, isn't taking away from my children. As a matter of fact, it's rippling out their mom into the world. It's making an impact in the world, and they're witnessing their mom contribute to the world. And my kids have grown, Julie, to be the most tenacious, empathetic visionaries I've ever met in children, because they listen to the conversations in our home that are all about, how do we overcome this? What could we do to change the trajectory? How can we grow this? Like, it's so positive. It's so abundant. They haven't listened to their parents sit around the table and talk about how they don't love their job and, you know, the traffic and, you know, the soul sucking person. So it's really created beautiful babies. So I'm bringing it back to the harmony. How am I hurting or taking away from my children by being all of myself and showing up in my fullest capacity in this lifetime? There's no takeaway. There is no takeaway. And some would say, but you're working. Yeah, but if I was working a 9-to-5, a corporate career, I would have to get up in the morning earlier. I would rush the morning routine to sit in traffic, to get to my office, to work late, to get home and rush dinner, to do homework, to go to sleep and do it again the next day. So what are we asking and what do we ultimately want? And I think that's what women need to ask themselves. What do you want? Think of your perfect day. And how can you curate that in your in the moment right now? How could you put in some practices of alone time and self-care? Big thing for women, especially with harmonious living. If we are not pouring into ourselves and we're giving everything to everyone else, they're getting the leftovers. So how are you practicing self-care and alone time? How are you prioritizing your day in terms of children or partner or business and the priorities of those things? And can you be more diligent in the way you schedule those things? And here's the thing, following through on that schedule, we're great at procrastinating.
Aren't we?
And the more time we have, sometimes the worse we use that time, because we think, oh, I've got all day, I can get these things done. And then all of a sudden you go, where did the time go?
Yep.
So harmony to me is presence, being with the thing you're doing. So when I'm with my kids, I'm with my kids. When I'm in my business, I'm in my business. I'm not scrolling on my phone and distracted. I really am very good at those boundaries and holding myself accountable to those things. It's also curating the days the way I want them to be and how I want to feel. That's the freedoms of entrepreneurship. Nothing else gives us this. So how can you create and build those freedoms into your life and celebrate them? And then also realize it was never meant to be equal. Just wasn't.
Yeah. And sometimes it's 70 business, 30 personal, sometimes it's 70 personal, 30 business. It just depends on the needs of the moment. And I want to go back to something that you said, because I just want to acknowledge it and I want to applaud you for it. And that was the way that you're raising your kids to think, because they don't see their parents sitting around the table complaining. They see their parents talking about, how can we improve this? How can we? So it's like you're training them by just association to have more of the growth mindset, more of the can do, the problem solving. Let's work this out, as opposed to the sit in and feel sorry for myself. It's like, what can we do? Let's be proactive. And I think that's a beautiful gift that you're giving them just by the example that you're setting. So I wanted to go back to that and applaud you for that, because a child's brain is so malleable. A brain lady had again, right? It absorbs so much by what it sees, what it hears, not necessarily what it's told, right? It's going to be, when they're 30, it's going to be the examples that we set as parents that our kids are going to remember. They're not going to remember how many times we told them to clean their room. They're going to remember the examples that we set for them. And that's what they're going to emulate. So as parents, it's really important. And I have to just applaud you for that before we move on.
Thank you. So, absolutely. And not interrupt or interject, Julie, but I think just to put a dot at the end of this as well is, this goes back to, we're not taking away from our children. We've got to get out of this mindset as women that somehow we are taking or hurting our families by being all of ourselves. What greater example than following through, building the business, picking yourself up time and time again? My kids have watched me sob tears of sadness and been angry sometimes, and I've been frustrated and I've wanted to burn it down. And they've also watched me pick myself up and keep going over and over again. And that's where that tenacity, I'm sure of it. That's what a part of it. I'm not going to take credit for all of their greatness because they are individuals, unique individuals, but I know that there's a component of that. And I think to myself, wow, there are people that hold this part of themselves back from their families because of guilt. And just to speak on guilt 1 minute before I turn it back over is it's not a natural state. I remember my breath coach taught me this, because I said, "Sure, I'm not going to feel guilty anymore. That's it. You know, I am done." And she said, "Well, Jen, how can you remove a human experience, an emotion that is a human experience? We can't take it away. What we can do is navigate through it differently. And what we can do is recognize it." And she taught me something that I'd love to give to the audience today. And it's been so big for me, is when I'm in anything other than love. So if I'm sitting and I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling worried, I'm feeling guilty, I'm feeling upset, you sit and you ask yourself, am I in love or am I in fear? So anytime I'm feeling disrupted in any way, I'll literally ask myself, am I in love or am I in fear? And it's such an obvious answer. Yeah. Because anything that isn't love is fear. And so then it gets to bring in this curiosity of, why am I fearful of this? Or why am I feeling guilty right now? And the more we can ask ourselves and reflect back to ourselves why we're feeling the way we're feeling, the more we learn, the greater our leadership, that radical personal responsibility that was in my bio, that's where it stems from, of really asking myself important questions to get down to the seed of, like, how did this come to be? So that I can release it and move forward. And it has been pivotal as a mom of four with multiple, I have 7 streams of income. So there's multiple departments and businesses a part of that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I would agree 100%. One of the top, as a matter of fact, I'm doing a corporate virtual presentation tomorrow afternoon. And the topic is on managing, it's a neuroscience of change management, right? Why does the brain push back so hard from change, right? Because it is just what you said. It is the fear that you're sitting in. And the first and foremost thing that you have to do to conquer that is to think, like, literally engage the front part of your brain and think yourself through. And that's basically what you were just saying. It's like, you have to stop and think, why am I feeling this way? And then, you know, break that down so you can, because oftentimes the reason why we're feeling the guilt isn't, or the fear or those different feelings isn't necessarily what we think it is. It's got a different source, right? So we have to identify that source so we can proactively do something about it. So
amen.
I love that. I absolutely love that. So you mentioned something in that last comment. You talked about radical personal responsibility. So how is radical personal responsibility the key to a new paradigm in leadership? Because every single female entrepreneur out there, and I don't care if you are a cosmetic representative, or if you are selling essential oils, or if you are a coach or a consultant or a travel agent or insurance, I don't care what you are. Every female who is in that entrepreneurial space, all of us have leadership in some way. We're leading someone somewhere. But women entrepreneurs, I think, are especially doing that by example. So what is this? How is this? Explain this radical personal responsibility, the key to shifting the leadership
paradigm. Oh, it's my, okay, you can feel the energy. I get really excited over this because
that's the way I get when I talk about the brain, it's like,
perfect. We're a match made in heaven right now then. So, I mean, understanding balance, there's no such thing. We're looking for harmony. We've talked about that, and that's an important subject, but it's simple because once you understand it, you can drop it and we can move forward. But how do we move forward? That's with that personal responsibility. And personal responsibility is really owning our beliefs, our habits, our patterns, our loops, and being responsible for healing those things. We as women, I firmly believe there has never been a more incredible, abundant, blessed time in the world to be a woman than right now. And I say that because there's so much that we can do, so much opportunity, so much learning. We're expanding exponentially right now in terms of how we believe, how we see things. It's incredible. But that comes along with a lot of responsibility as well. And we don't have those women ahead of us who are turning around and offering us their hindsight because we're the first. We are the pioneers. We're blazing the trail for the generations to come. So we won't do it perfectly, nor will it ever be done perfectly, but we're definitely starting the process. And I'm really thrilled to be a part of that movement. So shifting the paradigm in leadership is women having the audacity to finally say, I am here. I have something to offer. I have a voice that deserves to be heard. I am ready to be felt. I am ready to be seen, and I am ready to be heard by the world. And that's what I teach. I am so passionate about witnessing a woman sort of break these tentacles that have tethered her to past narratives, expired stories, things that don't even belong to her, and instead go, wow. I didn't even realize, especially when it comes to capacity, we think we don't have enough time. We think there's too much. I don't have, you know, I don't have the space in my life. If only we gave ourselves more credit, we have so much capacity, so much ability to change and shift the world. And to me, that demands some responsibility. So we could sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else do it and admire and applaud and cheer them on and be great champions of women, or we can get into the arena. And by getting into the arena, we have to know that we're going to have scuffed knees. We're going to fall down and get dusty. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to be vulnerable. There's going to be people that may say things about us. We might be judged, but my goodness, isn't that a life worth living? And you hear the things like, you know, people, the number one regret on their deathbed are these ideas, dreams, things they wish they had done and didn't do. Mm-hmm. So we hear these things, but the majority, the cult of average suggests that nobody does anything with that advice. Nobody really changes the way they move through their days. Mm-hmm. They hear it. They're like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I'm going to do things. But do they actually activate themselves into starting? And so that personal responsibility to rein this in, anybody listening right now who feels a tug for more, that more can mean anything. Maybe it's starting a family. Maybe it's having another child. Maybe it's starting a business. Maybe it's pivoting out of corporate and becoming an entrepreneur. Maybe you have been an entrepreneur selling a product for ages and you're ready to pivot into something differently. You'll never feel ready first. And so many people are sitting and waiting to feel ready when the time is right, when I have enough money in the bank account, when my husband finally, you know, gets on board with me, when my kids get older, why are we always waiting to be ready? Yeah. It's never going to come. The readiness, the feeling of readiness always follows the leader who is willing to go first. Action breeds belief. And so if you could just take a tiny incremental step towards whatever you're being called in that more, what could be possible? And I would do it in a really fun, curious, engaging way with yourself of like, huh, let's see what we've got. Because as women, when we bring in that flirt, when we bring in that energy, it is pretty potent and can do some spectacular things. So I highly recommend giving it a try.
I love it. I love it. That's so cool. And you mentioned, is that one of, because one of the other topics that we were, or one of the other questions that we were going to discuss was how can living in pleasure and joy today give you financial and emotional abundance? So is that kind of connected to giving it a try and just kind of stepping in with what you've got, or expand on that for me?
Yeah, we could weave it together for sure. I mean, we're building this like beautiful tapestry through this conversation of giving permission. I feel like that's what we're doing here, is like permission and a little bit of audacity and maybe a push onto the skinny branch. I mean, that's, I hope, what people are feeling in terms of energy and picking up these nuggets. But bringing in luxury and beauty today kind of goes back a little bit into the harmonious living. We're waiting for this feeling of worthiness around beauty. That once I reach a 10K month, then I will ... Once I have more clients come in my business, then I will ... I hear it often. I mean, I'm a business mentor and I've been a business mentor for 18 years. One of the number one things I hear is, well, I'll just grow my business a little bit more and then I'm going to invest in some coaching. It's totally contradictory. It's contradictory. Now, I will say, and people who know me know that I am an advocate for responsibility. So we're not going to go into, you know, something that's irresponsible, an investment that's irresponsible. So I'm not for that, but I'm certainly for stretchiness. I'm certainly here for someone recognizing that if they really desire something, they can invite it in today. And how I grew wealth, so to bring it back to that question specifically, I had made between $20,000 to $30,000 a month for a decade, every single month, like clockwork. And I'm very blessed. I realize that there's a lot of people who would do anything for that kind of success. However, I had that success and I had no money at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And that took me a long time to share this story because there was a lot of shame like woven into that story and soaked in that story, because how could I make that kind of income in a world where there's people that cannot even afford to put food on their plate? And somehow I am worrying when I'm paying for groceries at the end of the month that my bank card is going to be declined.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about shame. But what I realized is money, like anything, is a relationship. And what I had to do was learn to be grateful for what was, to invite in more. So I did that through inviting in beauty and luxury in the now. I started to collect fresh flowers and put them on my desk. I started to light the nice candles. I started with getting myself into my silk robe in the morning. And there's something that happens to a woman when you put silk on your skin and you glide to the kitchen to make your coffee versus sort of stomping and rubbing your eyes. It's just the essence that it envelops is gorgeous. And I started drinking coffee out of a beautiful mug. And I started sipping my coffee and tasting it versus putting in the microwave 10 times to reheat it because I wasn't finishing it because I just got stuck in the things. I started noticing if I saw a bird, I would say, thank you so much for that bird. How beautiful. I would just recognize its beauty. I would pause. And in that invitation to see the abundance that was in my life, regardless of what was in my bank account, grew my wealth exponentially. I just was open to receiving. And it's what I teach often. And it sounds like, oh, I wish it were that simple. I saw a pretty bird and I think that's pretty. And then money hits the bank. It's not that simple. It's a practice of gratitude, deep gratitude for what is, because I believe when we can be grateful for what we have currently, that's when we can be entrusted with more. So inviting beauty and luxury in has nothing to do with your bank account and everything to do with the intention around, yeah, you got it. I'm speaking your language. Everything to do around inviting it in and being conscientious about witnessing and seeing it.
Yeah. And I think seeing it, I often say your brain is going to pay attention to what you're paying attention to. And right. I know that sounds weird, but in some ways, the brain and the mind are two separate. They're the same, but they're separate. And the brain works kind of on an automation type of a situation. It runs programs. It runs programs of what it has been told to do or what is genetically put in it, right? Like manage your heart rate kind of thing. But if you are constantly thinking in your mind that scarcity mindset or the oh my goodness, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And you're in that worry place, the brain's always going to be hypersensitive to worry. And that's going to think that that's what's important to you. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that you're like, I love the candles and the silk robe and just like being really experiencing every moment of your life in that moment. Right. And that's just like, that tells your brain, this is what's important. And when you're in that place of gratitude and you're thinking about the things that you're grateful for and that's what the brain's going to all of a sudden start. Oh, this is what's important to this human being. So these are the things that are going to jump off the page, right? We all walk past the same wall down a hallway and it can have the same pictures on it, but you and I are going to notice two different things based on what our brain is cued into. So we have to tell our brain what we want it to be cued into, which is it, in essence, what you were just saying. I just kind of gave the science part of it.
And thank you for that, because that just expands me even more. And I appreciate that. And it's so true. And it's so available. But we think we have to earn these things. Like somehow I have to earn beauty. Somehow I have to earn luxury. Well, luxury, who said it was a designer bag? Who?
Right.
Nobody said that. Now, I love designer things because I went to school for fashion, but that's not my be all and end all. And it certainly isn't that my whole house is filled with designer things to feel luxurious. It's touching fabrics. It's smelling the air. It's looking at your children, like deep into their eyes. It's sniffing them when you're putting them to bed. It's pausing and absorbing the beauty of life. And I'll tell you, when you can do that and train yourself to remember that you do not have to earn anything, you were born worthy. You were born worthy. Abundance is your birthright. You do not have to earn those things in this lifetime. Instead, there's things we're going to be working towards. Sure, there's money to earn and things to buy, but we got to stop. It's kind of going back to that whole thing with the leadership is stop waiting for things. And instead, what can we do today to invite more of that in?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. We, you know, Jen, we could go on with this conversation for longer, and maybe we'll have to do a part two, you know, do a little something again in the future, because it's such a great topic. And I think, I really feel like this is such a message that the women in this group and the Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire group, as well as anyone listening, whether you are in business or you are a mom at home, or you are in a corporate leadership position, it doesn't matter. This message is really the same. You're going to be able to enjoy each of those positions, each of those things you do in your life so much better if you apply the things that were discussed in this show today. So thank you so much. This was a wonderful conversation. So before we wrap up, because I like to, for the podcast, you know, I don't want to make them too terribly long. Let's talk about how people can get in contact with you. You have a program called the Lux Membership. You want to speak to that for just a minute?
Yeah, sure. Right now I have a really gorgeous, if you don't mind me offering, I have a really gorgeous opportunity. It's called Mastery. And it's really the first, it's never been offered in the marketplace before. And the reason I say that is it's a full spectrum approach. So not only do we have a mastermind, but you have access to my entire executive team. So COO, CFO, legal advisor, breath coach, my creative director, my PR and visibility expert. So all these people pour into you, and you also get a retainer to use within my agency. So that's really what separates this, is most of the time people come in and they're investing in the energetics and some of the strategy and wisdom, but now you also get do it for you services through this mastermind as well. So I think that's pretty special, and people have been really excited about that. So that's sort of where my focus is currently, but I do some private coaching as well. And then I have B Lounge, which is a monthly masterclass, and you get my magazine mailed to you monthly. So that would be a great place to start if you want to dabble and just be in my world a little bit. Those are my sort of three main offers currently.
I love it. I love it. And you have a podcast, right? Is it just being iconic? Because I have, what is the title of the podcast? If somebody listening is a podcast listener.
Yeah. It's Becoming Iconic. Everything's Becoming Iconic. So when you go to Instagram, Becoming Iconic is my main page. We have Becoming Iconic Agency. So our agency services, female-led entrepreneurs, we give world-class experience. You just got to go look at it to see how brilliant it is. So we do everything from branding, website design, social media management, podcast production. It's turned into just a gorgeous offering for entrepreneurs. And then Becoming Iconic Magazine is the other platform. And that the digital copy is free as well. So my podcast and the magazine, the digital copy is free. And it is the resource for entrepreneurs. Things like Forbes meets Vogue. That's the best way to describe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And that was my childhood dream that I brought to life last year after losing my social media. And I thought, well, I got to start again. And if I'm starting again from a clean slate, what are the things I would not do anymore? And what were the things that I wanted to bring into the business? And the magazine was birthed from that.
I love it. I love it. All right. So beingiconic.co and then /podcast or /agency or any
becoming.
Of those.
It's becoming.
Becoming. Yeah. Sorry. Becoming. Okay. I said that wrong.
Being is good because that's what I teach is being it. But yeah, it's becoming iconic.
I love it. Thank you so much for everyone in the Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire group for watching and for anyone in the podcast world or on YouTube later on once we release this for listening and watching there. As always, we want everyone to stay connected with us at Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire. You can check out our website, womenentrepreneursextraordinaire.com. Yes, I know it's a mouthful and it's all plural. So it's Women Entrepreneurs with an S extraordinaire.com. We have an amazing collaborative book that we are currently enrolling for right now, Women Excelling Everywhere. And it's really about your story of passion and success. And keep in mind, success is your success, right? Success is not always connected to a dollar sign. It's connected to something that's your story that's going to be inspiring to other women and fulfill that leadership that we talked about in a beautiful way. So be sure to reach out for us on that. We're launching our new private membership to help you build your business and get those business foundations done. So keep in close contact with us. Jen, thank you again. You've been a wonderful guest and we appreciate your time and tying in all the way from Canada to California. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. And as I like to end all of my podcasts, I want everyone to just kind of roll their shoulders back, take a nice deep breath and go out there and simply enjoy and experience the way Jen taught you today, every moment.